Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. On the night before Thanksgiving 2016, our very special guest, Paul McGuire from paulmcguire.us, always informative and inspirational as well. And we can do all things through God. And we, you know, obviously, we have to always remember that. Just one thing before we get back to Paul. I posted an image on my personal Facebook page today. And I don't know if my wife saw it, but this is a meeting that I had yesterday morning, I think it was, with my closest confidential advisor, female advisor, in the studio or in my office right before we, or right after we got to the office. And, yeah, check it out. She's adorable. So anyway, she's a good listener too. That's my Facebook, first personal Facebook page, Doug Hagman. And, of course, we have a Facebook page, Hagman Report Facebook page as well. And we're also on Twitter, social networking feed as well. But Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us. Oh, by the way, one more thing, folks. December. Now, I want to thank John Robertson for this. John, God bless you, my friend. You are the man, as and J.D. and others. John set this up. Sheriff Joe Arpaio is going to be having a news conference on December 15th. Now, you know the story behind Joe Arpaio. We'll be getting into this later. But joining us on the 16th will be Mike Zullo and Carl Gallops to talk about that announcement. So that's going to be a very, very exciting show, kind of a debriefing of sorts from that announcement. But let's get right back to Paul McGuire from paulmcguire.us. Paul, you were saying, my friend,
Well, you brought up very interesting about the fake news, and we have to remember over and over again is that the people that were peaceful, like fighting against, many of them, and I'm sure there's some exceptions, they, you know, standard operating procedure for people that embrace Marxist ideology is by any means necessary. Whatever it takes to do the job, it's justified. No matter whether it's criminal, unethical, or whatever. That's basic communist operating procedure. So they have no problem lying or doing whatever they want to do. Now, the thing is, the media continually lies. So right after we have this election cycle where the media has basically had its pants pulled down, the all the ratings and surveys say the overwhelming percentage of the American public view the media as dishonest, favoring one candidate and having no credibility. So here they're caught in a firestorm of people looking down upon them because they lied about just about everything in the campaign and they got caught. They lied about the polls. They lied about Trump. And they're still lying. They haven't finished lying. So isn't it interesting in this atmosphere of an orgy of lying by the mainstream media because they're owned by the globalist elite, the mainstream media decides to create this fake thing called fake news. Well, news that isn't legitimate. Well, if we were dealing with a rational or ethical playing field, the first group of people that would be guilty of publishing fake news, because they published fake news for about a year regarding the election, would be the mainstream media. They've been guilty of publishing fake news on just about everything. From Hillary Clinton to, and then they were caught by WikiLeaks giving answers to questions and all kinds of other unethical behavior, the media. So the mainstream media has been guilty of egregious fake news, lying about the polls, distorting the polls, on and on and on. So while they're being looked upon as the worst perpetrators of, quote, fake news, they decide to create this Orwellian word, fake news, in an attempt to turn it around on people that criticize them or hold a different point of view than their progressive liberal Marxist point of view. And they do this consistently, this kind of incredible lying. So that's what we're dealing with. And we have to remember that the people that we're engaged in the conflict with don't share those core beliefs of an absolute right and an absolute wrong. They have denied that God exists, and when you deny that God exists, you step into a delusionary state where you believe the lie. And so lying to them is nothing. And that's why they get on the camera and they lie, and they lie to themselves. And so it's very disturbing, but we have to play law-abiding and legal hardball. We need to quit whining about them. They are who they are, but God has given us the power in a legal, law-abiding sense to take this nation back. So our first order of responsibility is to stand by and pray for the man that God put in office to help us, to give us a second chance, and to stop second-guessing him every 2 seconds. Even if he makes a mistake, stop second-guessing him and tearing him apart. I mean, it just staggers me. Does anybody out there think that Donald Trump is so stupid that he caved in to a Romney thing, or he's so stupid that... No, Donald Trump has a strategy. And the reality is, like it or not, you cannot be a purist 100% of Washington, D.C. You have to compromise like a general would on a battlefield to achieve the victories that are really important. And that's what he's doing. So you don't judge him, like you said, Doug, before he gets into office. He needs our prayers. Let me say this. He does. Yeah. He needs our prayers morning, noon, and night. He doesn't need our criticisms. He's not God, but he needs our prayers. His family needs our prayers. Needs our prayers for protection for his life. And the other thing we have to understand is we, in terms of being thankful, we need to, especially now, be thankful to Almighty God that God raised up for us a man that had the courage to be a gladiator, lay down his life, and fight for the future of this nation. And Donald Trump says something very interesting, which really spoke to me. You know, he said, I've made my money. I don't need any more business deals. I don't need any more Trump Towers. I don't care about the money. This is not about the money for me. This is about saving this nation and saving the people. And I believe that's what he meant. And that reflects a purity of heart that is rarely found among religious leaders or political leaders or just about anybody. He's not in it for the power and the fame. He's in it because he is deeply concerned about America, and he has become a gladiator, and he's willing to die for his cause. Now, I wish that could be said of most Christian leaders, but sadly to say, it's not.
No, even in your DVD set, what's going to happen? Or I'm sorry, America, what's going to happen next? Even from that, and folks, go to paulmaguire.us. And you can read and also purchase that DVD, three-set DVD series. You write and you point out that there is a very disturbing number of Christian evangelical leaders who are preaching biblical heresy. But that heresy takes on a couple of different forms. Of course, you know, you write and you point out in your DVD where many Christians are taught that we are not to be of this world, for example, and they take that to mean that it doesn't matter if Christians are involved in the political process because God is in control. Well, that's contemptible heresy in my view. And that extends far beyond the election that we just passed. That extends now into the heretical thought, in my estimation anyway, that since you can't change prophecy, just occupy, meaning sit on the couch basically, or just stay in your prayer closet until he comes. And I do believe people are called to pray. We are all called to pray, but we can do more than just pray. We can act. And the two futures that are before us, one future, as you point out, is based on the previous occult Luciferian model, and then of course you've got the other future for America, which is based on biblical worldview and constitution. So, having said all of that, which side are we going to take? And I think right now we've got to make that decision.
Yeah, right. And that's my burden, and that's why we did the DVD America: What's Going to Happen Next, and finished it after the election, because it deals with this fact that God has given us two futures. If we continue down the road that we have been on, which is pursuing this new age, humanistic, liberal agenda, we will enter into a totalitarian state of America. or if we choose the path that God has for us, and Donald Trump was an act of God, an act of blessing on our nation, then we can move into a future where the economy is restored to whatever degree. America can be raised up as a platform for the gospel and religious freedoms and so on and so forth. Now, nobody, the interesting thing is, it's amazing how people's selfishness becomes what theologically would be called an exegetical tool to interpret Scripture. In other words, we're supposed to interpret Scripture as at its plain meaning. We're not to interpret Scripture through the self-manipulation of our own selfishness. So I meet Christians all the time who said, oh, there's nothing we can do about it. You know, we're in the tribulation period, or we're coming to the tribulation period. Everything has to get worse to worse. America has to go down right now. You know what? That's great that you're saying that, but you don't have a single Bible verse in context or out of context to back up what you just said. So you really need to shut up and read your Bible and study it. God has given us a window of opportunity that does not reverse Bible prophecy, which is you can't change Bible prophecy. You can't undo God's prophetic word. But let's just do the math really quickly. And some of these people whose light bulbs need to be changed in their brain, because the light bulbs haven't been on in about 7 years, is this. Number one, America, unlike any other nation on planet Earth besides Israel, the Pilgrims and Puritans entered into a covenant with God based on Deuteronomy 28, which they model after the children of Israel and Moses. And in that covenant, if you obeyed God and his word, and you worshiped God and didn't have idols, God would raise you up, prosper you, defeat your enemies, and you would be a nation raised up above all nations. To an imperfect degree, America did that for a long time. Imperfectly, but we managed to become the most powerful nation in the world, and we were raised up above any other nation on planet Earth, even though we were imperfect. Now, we then made the mistake, like the children of Israel, of violating that covenant, and then all the curses began to come in. The curses on the economy, the curses on the sociology, the curses on being the victims in warfare, and on and on and on. The very reason that the Christian church, and I hope your listeners hear this, I would like to shout it from the housetops, the bottom line reason that the Christians are under assault, the bottom line reason that pastors are an object of ridicule, and yes, they are. Pastors are objects of ridicule. Christians are objects of ridicule. The very fact that our values are mocked and that we're despised and looked down upon by the culture, it's not because of how evil the culture is. It is because we have placed ourselves under a curse by violating the covenant of God in Deuteronomy 28. We put ourselves in this position because we rejected worshiping God and we rejected obeying his word. Now, if we'll repent of those things, and that repentance has been going on for the last number of years, and I believe a great deal of that repentance occurred during the election, God did a huge breakthrough thing. He gave us a second chance. He raised up a secular leader, because he couldn't find a Christian leader, to be a warrior for God's people. And we need to appreciate that. But here's the thing. The whole dynamic with God is whenever his people are repenting, when they're attempting to serve God and have no other gods before them, God will pour out his supernatural blessing, his deliverance, and his power. So as long as the church is here, as long as the Antichrist has not come to power and shut the entire thing down, as long as the tribulation judgments have not fully been released, we're in this time zone, and we don't know how long it's going to last, where God is giving us a reprieve. God is giving us a second chance. And anybody who cannot see how Donald Trump plays a pivotal role in this second chance is spiritually blind. Now, our job is to do what Jesus said to do in the last days. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, win souls, make disciples of all nations, or teach them a biblical worldview. But then number three is, Jesus said, occupy until I come. well, what are we to occupy? As American Christians, it's very specific. The Pilgrims and Puritans gave us a land which was blessed by Almighty God because of their covenant with God. That land was called America. And it was a Christian nation, a fountainhead for the winning souls, a light to the nations up until recently. And so when Jesus is saying to American Christians, occupy until I come, occupy what? A church pew? No. He means occupy the land that I gave you to fulfill my purposes. So our job is to obey Jesus because he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings and occupy the land that he gave us. And the reason he gave us this land is he has a purpose and a plan for America in the last days. And if anybody can't do the math or the calculus on that, then they need to stop watching the best-looking wives in Beverly Hills or whatever the heck they're watching and start reading their Bible again and recognize God has a purpose for every person listening. God has a purpose for America. And that purpose is contingent upon obedience to God, where he says, occupy until I come, which is also translated as do business until I come. In other words, be faithful with the resources and the wisdom I've given you. Now, I constantly talk to people who are telling me God isn't answering my prayer and I'm suffering financial misfortune and I can't find a job or I don't have favor and it seems like they're under a curse. I try to be very kind, but I listen to them and try to figure out why are they under a curse. They're under a curse because in their own personal lives, they're violating the covenant. Number one is they're not truly worshiping God as God. They're worshiping the false gods of personal peace, of personal prosperity, of materialism. They're worshiping the gods of what's in it for me. So they make all of their decisions, if they're really honest, I don't care how many fish bumper stickers they have on their car, they make all of their decisions based on what's in it for me. And then they're not worshiping God. And then God is speaking to them through the word, like the verses I shared you from Jesus Christ about occupy until I come, do business till I come, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then I'm polite, but I listen to people talk and I discover they're going to a church which doesn't preach the gospel, which is preaching apostasy. They have not done anything or very little to lay their lives down for this nation, as Donald Trump, a secular person, has. And then they can't figure out why the blessing of God is not on their lives financially and with favor and in many other areas. And I'm just going to tell you flat out, in the love of Jesus Christ, and that's why I wrote the book, A Prophecy of the Future of America, 2016-2017, because I deal with this. If you would repent of the fact that you're not really worshiping God, you've created an idol of God, which is your own private Santa Claus, and if you would repent of the fact that you are not listening to the Word of God when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and occupy until I come, you would find, if you would repent and change your personal course of direction, God would begin to give you unprecedented favor. He would begin to bless and prosper your business. He would bless your entrepreneurial ideas. He would raise you up. You'd be the head and not the tail. And your whole life would be revolutionized. But because you chose to play it safe, and you deliberately, through your self-centeredness, sought out a country club religion where you wouldn't be asked to really do much, just play church, play repentance, sing in a choir, and eat a lot of Kentucky Fried Chicken, and maybe play golf, well, guess what? You chose that church because you didn't want to be challenged. You chose that church out of your selfishness because you didn't want somebody to get in your face and say, you are part of the army of God, a law-abiding, peaceful army. And as a person, male or female, that's part of the army of God, you have a responsibility to your commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, to serve him unquestionably, find your place of duty, and serve the Lord. Then you find the blessing of God comes upon you. But this mockery we have of American evangelical Christianity is a joke. It's a self-centered, narcissistic religion that has almost nothing to do with the Bible, except for some token Bible verses.
You're exactly right. And, you know, with that comes a price. And I think everyone knows that. I mean, obviously, if you're not being obedient, you're under a specific curse, if you will, because you're not being obedient. On the other hand, when you become obedient and you take and you start acting your convictions and you act in a biblical with a biblical worldview and in a way that we are appointed to act in this time, you're also going to be confronted with a number of issues or a number of problems, different set of problems.
Yeah,
and
right.
USA Today, I think it was USA Today, or one of the publications had come out, and this Thanksgiving, because of this election, there are more family members who are becoming estranged from one another because of their different ideologies coming to the surface. So it's you know what, Paul? I mean, I think it's going to cost people relationships. It's going to cost people family relationships and to become estranged from one another, because finally we're having people stand up and say, you know what? I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm not going to tolerate the homosexual behavior. I'm not going to tolerate the abortion. I'm not going to tolerate the wholesale murder of innocents. I'm not going to tolerate, well, insert whatever the moral sin is here. I'm not going to tolerate that anymore. So we too will pay a price for our obedience, as we are paying a price or have paid a price, or perhaps we'll pay a price for our disobedience. Is that correct?
Yeah, you're right. And it reminds me what Jesus told his disciples. He said that, you know, if you follow him, you're going to lose certain kinds of friends. You're going to be rejected. But Jesus also said, you're going to find a whole lot of better new friends and all kinds of new families. So, you know, we try to be as diplomatic as we can. We all have families where people have the opposite viewpoint. We try to be diplomatic. We try to, you know, not deliberately engage in all-out war, especially with the heatedness of this election. But at some point, you know, you got to be who you are. And if the price of relationship is that you, and this is the way it usually works, is people that are liberals and progressives are the most intolerant people I've ever met. They'll demand that you totally shut up and deny all your beliefs. And if you're willing to do that in a family relationship, then you'll be kind of accepted. But the minute you, you know, like a turtle, stick your head out of your shell and say, well, I voted for Trump or something Christian, you risk being demonized. And I would suggest that people be wise and diplomatic and not try to pick a fight. But when push comes to shove, you may have to disengage in the relationship. Otherwise, you're smothering your soul. And you will not. I've been in relationships. I've been at dinner parties and family gatherings where I was silent and the price tag, it was like a blanket over me and I was suffocating. That's not living either. So I lost a bunch of friends and whatever. I tried to be very diplomatic. But finally I said, you know what? So what? I would rather lose. These are not my friends anyway.
That's right.
And they're my family members. Okay, that's great. But, you know, it's painful. I don't want it to happen. But I'm tired of, you know, suffocating myself, because that's a form of death.
No, it most certainly is, Paul. Paul, in the couple minutes we have left here, what should people focus on here? We're going into Black Friday. Obviously, people are going to be shopping. At least the people here in the West, many here in the United States. If and I know many people in our audience have family members and friends who they wish to awaken. What do you suggest? Your DVD set, right? That's a good start. But A Prophecy of the Future of America, Mass Awakening. Out of all of the products, what would you suggest they start out with? And
well, maybe A Prophecy of the Future of America 2016, 2017, because there's a lot of economic information in it that the average person can relate to, and how God will provide for you and bless you at the same time from a biblical standpoint. And the DVD set, America, What's Going to Happen Next, because I found out that everybody wants to know what's going to happen next. And in both the book and the DVD, I gave a lot of real hope, real stories of how God prospers his people or anybody who cries out to him. And how to walk in the power and the joy of the Holy Spirit. So I think those resources at paulmcguire.us would help them. And I want to encourage people, don't get caught in the spin cycle of your cultural washing machine or dryer. Don't get stuck in the spin cycle. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't take all the guilt of your entire life and start massaging it all over yourself. My goal through the holidays is to get through the holidays sane. You know, and that takes, you've got to kind of like steer the rowboat in the right position.
Exactly.
And I find myself with thinking of all his guilt, and I just let go of it because, you know.
What great advice and what great information and inspiration. Paul, thank you so much for your gift of time tonight. And our best to you, your wife, your family, as you celebrate Thanksgiving 2016 with a new mandate, I suppose. And God bless you, my friend. Thank you. Until next time.
God bless you and all your listeners. Have a happy Thanksgiving in the truest sense of the word. See you again.
Amen, brother. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Paul McGuire, paulmcguire.us, a good friend of mine, a good friend of the program, someone I like that man. I look up to him. We spent a lot of time together in Florida and in Texas. And, wow. All I can say is wow. You have a private conversation with him. It's just amazing. Going to be right back, Sarah. Where are you at? To this pre-Thanksgiving edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. You know, there's so much going on, so many headlines. By the way, tomorrow, Thanksgiving, not a regular program here at Hagman and Hagman. However, please listen to me carefully. I will be in the office tomorrow, and I will also be ready to be broadcasting should anything whatsoever take place tomorrow. I do intend to release some investigative findings on Hagman Report tomorrow. I know there's been a log jam, and the reason for that is because with so much going on, we've got to be extremely careful how we report what it's got to be the truth, and it's got to be verified. And understand that the battle for the executive office is not over. I know the improbability of any legal challenges to a Trump victory. I understand that. Please understand when I say this, it is not the it's not the actual challenge, the legal challenge. It is what is behind it, the legal challenge. The people who are acting in concert with the globalists in order to keep Trump out of the White House. Not that that's going to happen necessarily, or at least not in that fashion. But the important thing is this: the globalists cannot afford to lose their death grip on power. They're not going to go quietly into the night. That's what I'm focusing on. And this is where our exposure is. And folks, you really need to understand that. I find it very interesting as well. The FBI just released a statement about, you remember the I'm bringing it up right here, the guy that the 19-year-old guy from Stuart, Florida, who ate the face ate the face off one of individuals here recently, Austin Haroff. You remember the excuses that it was bath salts. It was some sort of hallucinogen that caused this behavior. The analysis of this suspect or the accused here, there was no hallucinogen. There was no toxic substance found in his system. The reason I bring this up at this moment in time is because this is an indication of behavior that we are going to be seeing more and more of. Steve Quayle talked about this, and Pastor Langford here coming at the top of the next hour, I'm sure we'll may just address this. Before going on, I do want to mention, folks, if you have not taken advantage of this already, go to Minuteman. Folks, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. I apologize for stumbling over that. Sorry, Lane. MinutemanStove.com. Right now, in fact, they're running a special between now and Cyber Monday, midnight Monday. They're running a special. Get a Minuteman stove. This is a gift to you, folks. Minuteman stove. You place an order for a stove from now until midnight on Cyber Monday. Use the promo code Hagman, and you will receive a Minuteman Rocket Stove Plus, and this is really a great deal, a free forever size half inch. It's the big one. 100,000 strikes fire striker. A free 1 pound bag of Maya sticks for fire starting for tinder, and also free shipping. That comes out to a savings of $63. It's a great deal. MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. Enter the promo code Hagman, but you've got to do it between now and Cyber Monday. And I got some information here. I don't know how many more of these they have in stock before they have to go into reproduction on this. So please hurry with your orders. MinutemanStove.com, promo code Hagman for a complete savings of $63 and the free items. So again, very important. Now, this for the remainder of this hour, folks, I want to tell you something. When I was in Dallas, Texas in March, I met someone down there who really impressed the heck out of me with respect to her knowledge of all things related to survival and preparations and eventualities, how to prepare for eventualities. But she had one very specific line of interest. And I never really understood the importance of this until I listened to her and I started talking with her. And her name is Lucinda Bailey. She's a tremendously intelligent, experienced, person in the, well, you've heard us talking about seeds, for example. Well, Eric and I were talking earlier today during one of our meetings here at the studio, and we were talking about the holiday coming up, Black Friday, you know, when everyone waits in line for everything, the new TVs and the new radios, the new appliances, Black Friday. Oh, yeah, Cyber Monday coming up and Black Friday and all the specials. And he said to me, and this was pretty profound, I thought, he said, you know, why not give your family, your friends, the gift of food, but not in the traditional sense, a gift of life in the form of seeds. And this is true. I'm not making this up. One of the reasons he said this is because we had, in fact, if you're watching this on video, hang on. Just talk amongst yourselves for a second. Okay, here we go. We had this on the table. For those, I'm out of breath now. For those listening via Global Star, this is from Texas Ready. This is a food bank a seed bank from TexasReady.net. That's TexasReady.net. If you can see this on the video, see? This is a 50 caliber ammo can that contains just an incredible supply of seeds, heirloom seeds, regionally appropriate for our area, certified seeds. And I didn't know any of this. So what I did was this. Because it's Black Friday coming up, entering Cyber Monday and all of this, people are out shopping, wondering what to get your family, your friends, your coworkers, whatever, if that's what you do for Christmas. We thought, Eric and I thought, and JD, and the whole crew thought, look, before people can make an informed decision, they probably should hear about this from an expert. So we asked Lucinda Bailey if she would take the time out tonight, step away from the turkey now, come on and explain to us what we need to know about seeds and about Texas Ready, because before we make a purchase, maybe we should be a little bit more informed. So with us right now is Lucinda Bailey. Lucinda, thanks for taking time out from your busy schedule on this night before Thanksgiving. I know you're cooking. I know that. But thanks for joining us tonight.
But it's just a real delight to address your audience, and it was tremendous meeting you and your son at Hear the Watchman in the Dallas area in March of this year. And I had been an avid listener to the Hagman broadcast, and it's just been so interesting to hear how your ministry has been growing by leaps and bounds, and people are hungry for the truth, I think. And so you know, you handle the spiritual, political, and socioeconomic, and Kurt Nock and myself at Texas Ready are blessed to be able to help people with the food preparation portion of it.
There's just so much to know about this, and the thing is, Lucinda, what struck me as really being important is there are people out there who are entering into the realm of preparation. They want to be prepared, but they don't know what they're doing. And I was one of them. And to a large extent, I still am in some areas. So that's why this is so important to have you explain, what we as consumers should invest in as opposed to, what we would normally invest in erroneously. So thank you for that.
I think the typical, prepper, thinks if I just go to Lowe's, Home Depot, Walmart, and buy a few packages of seeds, I'm going to be okay. Well, there's a couple problems with that that, if you don't mind, I'd like to just kind of highlight so that everyone will have a greater vision for what their family is really going to need. The first major problem is that most of these operations, box stores, et cetera, buy on a national distribution model. Congratulations, if you're from Kansas, the seeds in the packet might work. Now, you go ahead, and we've all had this happen. We purchase a couple packets or whatever. We plant them, and something doesn't come up, doesn't germinate. Well, there's so many factors that come into bearing, but maybe those seeds aren't really suited for your geographical area. So you really do need a collection of seeds. We all know that, but they've got to work in your zip code. And so Texas Ready has two regional types of seeds. If I go to Maine and do a conference, I'm not going to be bringing the same seeds that I had with me at Dallas when I was meeting you folks. So we take into consideration your agriculture growing zone. And there are, the United States is broken down into 3, 4, 5, which would be our northern kit, and then zones 6, 7, 8, 9 for the southern kit. And so if you're up north, you are not going to have time to grow a 60-pound watermelon. But if you're in the south, you could. And so I'm going to give you the best deal in the south. I'm going to get you those watermelons that can provide, you know, an abundance of food. Parsnips do not grow very well in the south, so I will never sell a parsnip. But you in the north, New England, you're famous for your, you know, pot roast dinners with parsnips and carrots and onions and so forth. And so we want to make sure that regional eating considerations are part of our kits as well.
You know, that's so vital to me, because again, here we are as consumers, ladies and gentlemen, you can tune into any, just about any, media program like ours, and there will be people that'll come on and say, here's seed kits, or here's this product or that product. And it's wrong for you based on your geographic location. And so we need to protect our listeners, protect ourselves, educate ourselves, because we certainly don't want in a time of need to not have exactly what we need when we need it. And that's why I was so impressed with you. So go ahead.
Well, the other thing is that most people are not buying certified seed. And, we at Texas Ready know the difference between seed that is often sold over the internet. It may be an heirloom. An heirloom, by the way, is a seed that is an open pollinated variety. It's been consistently produced for over 25 years. So heirloom is the kind of seed that a prepper or someone preparing for the future would be interested in. The other types of seeds are hybrids. Now, the way that you can easily understand this is if you have a lab and I have a poodle that get together, they're going to produce a very cute little designer dog, a labradoodle. you know, big money, okay? But yep. The next generation of dogs is neither lab, poodle. It's really going to be a mutt. It's not going to go to any dog show and win any kind of contest. So in the garden, what you do is you have one species and a second species. They get together and they produce really strong, that first cross. That's called the F1, filial 1 cross. It's in genetics. And that is the strongest plant that you're going to get. And so most of the seeds sold at Lowe's, Home Depot, the box stores, etc., are going to be these hybrids. The problem is that the next generation is really problematic. You have three outcomes that are not suitable for a prepper or for someone that's trying to be self-sufficient. The three results are as follows. About 50% of the next generation plants are going to be sterile like a mule. 25% of them are going to revert up the genetic chain. They're not going to look like what was on the packet. And you have no control, and I have no control, but we're just not going to know what it's going to look like. And then the third possible outcome is it could be a mutant. You plant a cucumber, but you really get a gourd. So that's not going to be very helpful if you're trying to, you know, be food self-sufficient. If an economic event, you know, happened and you and I were called upon to provide our own food for our families, we have got to depend on the old-time seeds, the open pollinated, and then we only sell the heirloom, so they're 25 years or more of production that is dependable. And so I pay a little extra to get the heirlooms. Now, here's another thing that your folks should be looking for. They should ask for certified seeds. Now, what that means is that with each crop that comes in, we require our farmers and our co-ops to provide certification from an independent lab as to the germination rate, the noxious weed content, and some of the genetics. So we do that even before we would consider putting it into our test gardens. Then we take the seed and we grow it out one or two seasons just to see how it's going to work. And we've got test gardens. We've been doing this a long time, so we've checked out many, many breeds. If they don't perform well for us, I don't care if they're certified or not. We're not going to put them in the kit. Because we want the stuff that's the easiest to grow and will produce in the shortest number of days the calories that you're looking for. And unbelievable, we need to be providing 1 million calories per year per person. Now, that sounds like a complete mountain. It sounds outrageous, but do the math. Divide 1 million by 365, and you're coming to about 2,700 calories a day. Now, the U.S. Army says that under military conditions, under warfare conditions, you're going to need 3,000 to 3,600 calories or more on the days that you're, you know, exerting that kind of energy. And believe me, if the economy craters, you and I are going to have plenty of things to do that we are not doing today. And so keeping your calories up is going to be critical. So we've tried to look at all those things. Within our kits, we also have balanced nutrition. We've had both agronomists and nutritionists take a look at our schedule of seeds. And no, we don't grow every single vegetable that's available. We wouldn't do artichokes, for example, even though I love them, but they take 72 months to produce. Well, that's not very helpful. So that's not a good use of the garden space. So we would not put that into the kits. But we would put stuff that produces quickly, like we have radishes that in 28 days you could be eating a radish, along with your lettuces that also we can get you to start eating in about 28 days. You know, other things take a little bit longer, and we provide educational materials in most of our kits that help someone like myself, who did not take very good notes at the knee of my grandmother, who was quite good at this. You know, we in America have lost in one generation the ability to provide food for ourselves. And so, like during the Depression, the Great Depression, 90% of the people could still grow, you know, food in their backyard. Well, that's not the case anymore. I would doubt that less than 5% of America could provide, you know, food out of their quarter acre subdivision lot. And yet, it can be done. And so we provide educational materials that show exactly how that, you know, can happen.
Which I'm glad you do. And I don't want to be the one. Here we preach, we teach, we warn about events, supply disruptions, and everything, all the possibilities. And then we say, well, go out and buy long-term storable food. Go out and buy this, or go out and buy that. To fully be prepared. And I realized that with that comes the responsibility. You know, Doug, you better be sure, because I'm going to be held accountable at the end of the day. And Lucinda, so are you. Okay, so you've put together a Cadillac. The Cadillac. I never knew there was that much research to go into a survival seed kit or a seed kit.
Actually, how we got started was my business partner and I realized the economy was not doing very well. I had been in financial services. That was like not a going place job. I didn't want the burden of giving people wrong advice, so I just got out of that industry. But I wanted to provide for my own family, so I thought, oh, I'll just get on the internet and get a kit. And I started looking at what was available to Americans. This was 5-6 years ago, and I was just aghast, because from my previous gardening experience, which I had done as a child in Michigan, I just knew that some of these kits, people would actually starve to death. They would do very well under one season, but they didn't have enough calories. They didn't have the root crops that were going to provide some of that 2,700 calories a day that's going to be needed to keep you in good health. They didn't provide, the right nutrition, so people are going to get scurvy. They're going to get rickets. So at that point, I spent about 3 or 4 months putting a kit together for our family and friends. And at that point, we realized, you know, because our kit was vastly superior to anything on the market at that time, most of the kits are sold in packaging that rats could eat right through in 10 minutes. So that concerned us. We didn't ever want that to happen to our customers. So that's one of the reasons we went to the military grade or the ammo cans. They're grab-and-go gardens virtually. So we buy ammo cans by the pallet and clean them up and spray paint them and get them all ready and suitable, cleaned up to be the permanent housing for seeds. And seeds last, by the way, 4 to 6 years. Many, many people that are in the seed business are giving you the line of 20 years. I've even heard 50 years. It's completely not true. Now, I'm expecting grid down. If it comes to the fact that I have to provide my own food, I'm expecting a possible grid interruption, grid down. That means refrigeration and freezing are not going to be available. It is possible to save certain seeds for a long period of time if they're frozen. And if they're frozen in nitrogen. Well, I know you and I do not have those kind of refrigeration devices. Those are $1 million per device. So that idea that the seeds are really going to last that long is just absurd. And so that question just really hounded us. And I went up to Fort Collins, Colorado, and talked to the National Seed Saving Lab. These are the world's experts, by the way. Showed them our packaging, showed them what we were about, and they said, absolutely, it could not be improved. You're using exactly the right thickness of plastic when you're, you know, saving your seeds. You've got the right amount of oxygen available to the seeds. Seeds, being living organisms, should not be vacuum sealed, by the way. And again, a lot of seed salespeople are doing that, and they're taking their marching orders from how they preserve fruit. When I'm saving, you know, wheat in 5-gallon drums, yes, I want to get all that oxygen out. That's proper. But when I'm saving seeds, which I want to be living organisms, there has to be a small amount of oxygen transfer in order to preserve the right amount of germination. So it is a very complicated deal. And so that's why we've gone ahead and gotten the education ourselves, and we have resources on board, I believe, in ongoing education, and have in fact gotten the equivalent of a master's degree in seed saving and agriculture, just so I could properly advise our customers.
And advise you do. You know, Ms. Bailey, and I want to thank you so much for your, because you invest a lot of time. The research that is behind your product is incredible. We got about 3 minutes left. Can you just tell our listeners, because, and folks, I stand behind this. I mean, I stand 100% behind TexasReady.net. I guarantee this with my reputation. I mean, this is the best. 3 minutes left, Lucinda. Just go ahead and take it away. Finish up.
All right. We would love your folks to come and take a look at us. We have lots of extra free information on our website. Find us at www.texasready.net. And we just believe that any American that wants to grow the food that they need for their families should have the good tools to do it, the good research, because if the internet goes away, the computer goes away. So we want you to have the correct books. I've read about 300 books in order to narrow it down to the six or so that you're going to need. Those six are featured on our web pages. And we do have a system of gardening called the Mitleiter Gardening Course, which produces, we have documentation that you can, on a quarter acre subdivision lot, produce enough to support a family of four, and we tell you how to do that. And this can be done in any soil, any climate, and that's the really nice thing about this particular garden system. It's been tested all over the world in every single soil type and weather pattern. So that means that if you're my customer from Maine or Texas, Florida, or Washington, it's going to work, and it's been proven. The other thing is, you can pick up the phone and call me with your agriculture questions. We want every American to get their answers quickly while they can, so we do make ourselves available. And between now and Monday, we are offering free shipping on any of our kits. I don't know if you knew that we were going to do a Hagman special, but
no.
If you can just put the Hagman code, write Hagman, and then we'll know to give you free shipping. And if you were to order our largest seed bank called the Treasury, that's $65 off right there. So it's a bank.
It's a heck of a buy. And let me tell you, I so appreciate you, your company, your dedication, but offering our listeners that special. That's between now and Monday, right? Sunday night?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to be talking more, Ms. Bailey, because you are just an incredible treasure of information. And certainly we're going to be talking more about TexasReady.net, your product, which, again, I absolutely stand 100% behind. And you know, we put you through the paces for information before we agreed to even offer your product. So thank you.
Glad to be part of your family. Thank you so much.
God bless. Folks, remember, right back. Stay right where you're at. Pastor David Langford coming right up.